I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is nice to have you starting your morning with us here for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. By the way, we need to tell you that we are actually recording this program on Wednesday of this past week for air this Saturday morning.
Because we're in Steamboat right now.
Because we are in Steamboat right now. I thought, there's a good excuse.
Man, that's really confusing.
Yeah, I know. So don't even think about it, Russell.
I'm not going to.
This early in the morning, I don't want to mess you up.
We are on the lift, Tim and I, directly while you guys are listening to this.
Yeah. Anyways.
Folks, if you're confused out there, give me a call.
You're not alone. Yeah,
I am too.
Yeah,
we'll talk.
Again, it's nice to have you listening as we start the morning together here. Tim Hughes along with Russ Smith from Sky Call.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Yeah.
How's your week? How's your week so far?
Oh, pretty sucky so far, but, you know, it'll get better maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's only Wednesday.
You know, people tell Napa Domskis in his class the reason they listen is because we're brutally honest, and I guess you just were. Your week has been hell. But anyway, good to see you.
I'm trying to remember why it's been so bad, but I can't remember.
At least he calls him like he sees him. Yeah.
You know what? Let's go back up and tell the story. You were at the cabin last week.
Oh, that was, in fact, it's been a little over a week, so it was,
at the Smith family compound up there.
That's right.
And you had the dogs out playing in the snow, I think.
I throwing the ball. It was beautiful. Sunny. Lots of snow.
Yeah.
So dogs love chest deep snow, and that little puppy I got likes to bounce like a deer through the snow.
So does Navadomskis, by the way.
Yes, I do.
He likes
chest deep snow. Makes me happy.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
And the ladies are in watching TV and chatting.
Yeah.
So I'm out throwing the ball, and the ball goes where they didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go after it. In the process of going after it, I slipped on the hard snow. I did one of those cartoon fall
flat on your back,
feet up in the air, boom.
Yeah
Landed in the upper center of my back. And I thought I hit my head, but I didn't, fortunately. Maybe it would have helped, I don't know. You guys were thinking that though, weren't you?
No.
But you know, you lay there and yell for a little bit because it's painful. And
how long were you down?
Well,
he woke up with snow on him.
and dog urine. But not any more than 5 minutes. I'm dramatizing this.
Yeah, but you could have been out there for a while.
That's what I told Chris. Yeah. I said, you know,
you need to watch me from now.
If I don't come in after 10 minutes, you need to look out the door and see where I'm at.
Wow.
I yelled loud, but nobody heard me.
Well, shoot.
So
you're recovering from that, but probably...
Maybe I should have been carrying a sat phone outside the cabin. I don't know.
Dial it while you're laying on the ground.
Yeah, one of those leashes where you can't get off the porch.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, anyway, it's a slow crawl. You know, I haven't gone to a doctor because every time I've had an injury like this, and I go and get an x-ray, they say, well, we don't see anything. It'll get better. And not everybody says this is the worst part of it, and in the next couple of months it'll get better.
You know? So you only have to wait till summertime to feel better. Yeah. That's good.
Russ, we're old now.
Yeah.
And we don't heal like
that
we
really
used to.
Well. Yeah. This is there's multiple things that as you get older there's not much you can do.
I've fallen twice skiing, and both times I got black eyes.
I believe it.
I was there for one of them.
Yeah.
He did a quick face plant, and I skied over there to make sure he was going to get back up because it looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Russ Smith. That's Mike Navidomskis. We know him as Navi.
In your mind's eye, really nice-looking person.
Yeah. Oh, gorgeous
Very
guy.
Slim and young.
Very handsome. Well-built.
Yeah. Yeah. The chiseled jaw here, don't you think?
Mercy.
Teeth are straight.
Now the people that book that next fishing class are going to be real disappointed.
They're always disappointed.
Yeah.
I want my money back.
So we're recording on Wednesday because we're going to be in Steamboat, Colorado.
That's
just
correct.
A quick 5.5-hour drive.
3-day weekend.
Straight across to Colorado. And my understanding is they got about 4 feet of new snow last week.
Yep.
So there should be some good skiing to be had over there.
And we have Icon passes.
Which I think is a fair conversation to have.
Right.
That we probably, I mean, you would have, but Becky and I probably wouldn't even think about going to Steamboat to ski because we have lots of opportunities here.
Absolutely.
But when you paid in advance for a season pass, like an Icon or an Epic pass, and it's available to you, why not go do it?
Absolutely. Skiing the same rut gets
short
old.
Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, did you see, Vail, Colorado will hate me mentioning this, did you see the pictures of the lift lines at Vail a week ago? Was after a big dump, and it may have been that they had the mountain closed for a while, but there was a line that was probably 4 or 6 people wide getting on either a quad or a six chair, and it wound around the lodge and around the corner. It was crazy.
You know, Tim, this was universally true. I've never seen Mickey more upset than last weekend. I mean, the left lines were bad. And
was that up at Powder?
That was at Park City, which generally doesn't have long ones. And he said, he's done. He's done. Mickey kept going, I'm done. And he's moving to Montana. I'm done. I'm moving to Montana.
Well, that's a good
move. And I
move
go, Mickey, this was an exceptional day. We had a lot of snow. The canyon was closed for avalanche.
Yeah.
But he, no, I am tired of too many people skiing now. I'm going to go to another state.
Well, he's going to find the same problem in another state because all these passes work in every other state too. But it is something that the industry is trying to balance right now.
Right.
They love the business.
Is it really a problem with that pass? Definitely.
Well,
I mean, those people are skiing either way.
Look, here's in Mickey's situation, here's what exacerbated the problem.
Well, the canyon's
we had
closed,
lots of new snow, but we had avalanches in Little Cottonwood Canyon, and so the people that had passes and were skiing there were locked out, so they made a quick turn and headed up to Park City where everybody else was. And also, Park City was closed for a few hours that morning on a wind hold.
And the next day, the day before it had been closed. So
look,
everybody was anxious.
Some of these things are unavoidable and are going to happen on weather days, which you pray for if you're a skier in the middle of winter. You want things like big snowstorms that may have some wind associated with them because they bring snow that you get to play in. So you just have to have some patience. But there's no doubt that this is a major conversation in the ski industry right now. And something that they're all trying to figure out.
Well, this advertising to go skiing is working.
Yeah. Help me understand. This is a bad problem?
Yes.
I mean, but are there ski resorts sitting there with nobody there?
It's one of those good thing, bad thing.
So we need more ski resorts.
Well, look, everybody goes however many days they go.
Can't do that easy either.
Everybody goes however many days they go in a year, right?
Yeah.
And the problem is, there are some days that everybody picks.
Well, of course, yeah. Right,
and that's when it's problematic.
Well, I'm going to have to modernize the lift at Sugar House Park now.
Everybody wants to go on Saturdays because it's their day off. Everybody wants to go on a sunny day after a big powder day, or they want to go on a big powder day. So you know it's going to be busy. The only advice I could give is do what my wife did. Just quit her job.
Yeah.
And ski during the week.
Let me give you an example, Russ. This Friday, you are going to be hard pressed to find a table at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Well, of
because
course.
Everybody's got to take their lovely Valentine to dinner. And by the way, everybody has the same motive. It's not like it's just that we can only fit so many people, but there are times when there's nobody at those tables, but they're all going to be there Friday night.
But there's a lot of us guys that prepare for that and go the night before.
Or the day after.
You know, old
and it's
people.
Just as good.
We go out to dinner early and we go to the movie early, and my wife says, we're losers. We go to bed at 9.
Let me tell you something. And this is sort of more personal information that
let's hear it, Tim.
More people may not want to know. As a divorced dad, when I was going through the divorce 25 years ago, I made the realization, because it was difficult for me to drop my kids off on Christmas Day, knowing that I wasn't going to be there, or dropping them off on Christmas Eve, that I wasn't going to be there Christmas morning. I shed tears.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I realized Christmas Day is any day you want it to be.
Yes.
That's a date
on a calendar.
Yes.
So let them have that time with their mom. And Saturday or Sunday, if Christmas was on a Friday, they'll come to my house and we'll celebrate Christmas. Same thing with birthdays. Same thing with just about anything.
Well, yeah, anything. Like, people travel now, more inclined to do so. And then everybody's like, gosh, I was on the Louvre on, you know, July 3rd, when every person who's in Europe is in on the Louvre. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But when you're older, we get to go off-season pretty soon here. And there's a thing called an off-season for that. Prices are down. Hotels are empty.
I'll say this quick. I know we're probably out of time.
We're almost out.
In contrast to what you were saying about Christmas, we just recently had our first Thanksgiving by ourselves.
Yeah.
We said, heck yeah.
It was great.
And you know what? Let's go out and let somebody else do the cooking.
Yeah.
And then we don't have to clean up the mess. And I get you. I want to make sure when we're talking about the passage, we love the idea of the icon of the icon.
Yes.
We do. And the effort of ski resorts, we're not blaming any ski resorts on this. This is just what the after effects of this idea happen to be. How we deal with that in the future, we'll have to see. But please don't take my icon or my epic pass away.
Right.
Because it's a fantastic opportunity for people, and it's helpful to the resorts. They bank that money in advance of the season. They aren't, you know, waiting for Mother Nature to bring snow.
Right.
There
That's
are
right.
a lot of positives
it is
about
a lot
this.
Healthier than
oh, yeah. How about
it
the lodging? Everybody gets to rent their rooms.
Yeah. It will fix itself in
time. I hope so.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about it, though. And the resorts have been very open about having this conversation, too, which I appreciate. Coming up, we're going to check in with Roger Eggett. We haven't talked to in a while, but I saw a post on his Facebook from Bear River Lodge. Roger had a post because he went out ice fishing with Adam Eichel, and I was curious about where they went. So we'll find out where he went ice fishing coming up. Faith Jolly will join us from the Division of Wildlife Resources, a story about feeding wildlife and how it connects to chronic wasting disease. It was a story we had on Utah's Morning News this week, and I think people might be surprised at what that connection is. We talk about not feeding animals, but how that could lead to an outbreak of chronic wasting disease, we'll find out. Judd Eads, who hasn't been on this program forever, and used to be a regular guest with us and a host from time to time, just had what he describes as one of the adventures of a lifetime, and he's a guy who has a lot of adventures.
Yeah.
On something called the King of the Hammers Off-Road, he was a co-pilot in one of the vehicles in an off-road race, so we look forward to that. And then coming up on Snow Day, we'll share with you what's happening this weekend and hopefully excite you to get out and be a part of the event that's happening at the Olympic Speed Skating Oval out there in Kearns.
Awesome.
So look forward to all of that coming up, but we'll take a break and come back with some news of the week next.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It is time for some news of the week. And gentlemen, you know what that means. It's time to say good morning to our first caller of the day, James!
Well, good morning, guys. Anyhow, basically, I saw one piece of good news on the on the internet this
Thank
morning.
Goodness.
Anyhow, basically, it was talking about the Division of Wildlife reintroducing a brand new herd of 25 new bighorn sheep.
That's right. They've
been there before, but not this herd, to Antelope Island, I guess, roughly a year ago or a little bit more. A whole herd had to be euthanized due to a respiratory disease. Hopefully it wasn't coronavirus. I'm not trying to joke about that. That's hideous, but I'm just glad we got a new herd on Antelope Island. I just wish the new herd the best.
Yeah, we actually talked about this on the show a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Had an interview about how it all came about. And by the way, not all of the herd had to be euthanized. Those that were still on the island were, but many of them through the years have been moved and transplanted to other places in the state. And this particular movement of sheep actually came from Montana.
Correct.
And was
donated
from some kind of a ranch or something.
Yeah,
up there.
It was a private reserve.
Plus, they had to test all the animals to see if they had that pathogen for fear that it would reinfect this new herd.
Yeah. They're all tested and tethered.
It was a real interesting interview we had on the show.
Yeah, but you're right. It is fantastic. Anytime we can recreate a herd that has been a part of Utah's history for so many years and put it in a place where people actually might get a good shot at seeing them in the wild is, I think, something everybody should cheer for.
Hey, how about that, James? We finally knew something you were talking about.
Well, anyhow, it worked out great. And no fooling, I hope a herd thrives with no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we too.
Hey, that's a great hatchery, so to speak, for a very controllable environment.
Right.
It's nice to bring new genetics into the mix.
Absolutely.
You guys have had a rainy week down there in Texas, haven't you?
Yeah, we've been besieged with it, and I'm sick of it. So if you can send us some dry weather, I'd love a 90-degree day anytime you can.
It's in the mail. We got one here right now.
I know I'm going to have to wait a while.
I think I saw pictures a couple of days ago of a car submerged in water on some street in Dallas. So they've got some flooding problems in spots. But anyway, it's good to hear from you, James.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, buddy.
All right. Good to hear from James there in Texas.
Checked in on a Wednesday.
For those that don't know, we're recording this week on a Wednesday because we're on the road today. Look. Yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I just want to make sure that
it was awesome, Tim. Can I tell you?
Man, how do you
tremendous,
know that?
Tremendous flowers.
My wife loved what I got her.
All right, now you're really confusing people. The Division of Wildlife had some cute Valentine's cards. You know the ones that the kids hand out at in the classroom.
Yeah, yes,
and they're just little flat cards that you assign to your.
Yeah. Right.
I still remember having a girlfriend that didn't know she was my girlfriend when I was in elementary school.
It's touching.
I got a wife that doesn't know she's never my.
and then you would make your Valentine's boxes.
Yeah. Fun day.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody would put their Valentine's in yours, and you'd find out you had a sweetheart that you didn't know.
That was
anyway,
fun. Yeah.
These are all wildlife related. So they had a picture of a frog that says, "I find you quite riveting." How about
Punny.
This one? A picture of a mountain goat, a U, saying you, E-W-E,
I get it.
Are
yeah.
special.
I'm going to ram that down my throat.
How about this one? I love you, I'm not lion. And there is a mountain lion there.
Oh, a little pride in that one.
Here you go. Look at you go. You are very dear to me, and it's got two deer that are sort of nose to nose kissing.
I would go the horny car here, but that's not right on Valentine's.
Yeah, let's leave that out. Not that you didn't already throw it in there. Anyway, just cute stuff. I want to remind everybody that this is the last weekend, your last chance to go see the elk up close at Hardware Ranch Wildlife Management Area. I didn't realize it happened this early, but I guess we are in mid-February here.
Yep.
Kind of hate to see winter go away.
Headed for spring.
So last weekend to get up there and do that, if you want to find out more information, you should check it out. Division of Wildlife Resources reminding everybody. And you can get it at wildlife.utah.gov/hardware-visit. And there'll be some information Saturday, today, and tomorrow, open 10 a.m. till 4:30 p.m.
What do you think? The elk hang out there until the... don't get fed anymore.
Yeah, they go, the tourists are gone. Let's go back to the woods.
Mother Nature's ringing the dinner bell somewhere
else. Last picture's taken. Let's get out of here.
And then this story getting some attention. We only have a minute and a half or so, but the members of Congress that oppose visitor limits on Zion National Park. This is a hot potato back in Washington. They need some funding, obviously. But the overcrowding is really causing problems. And so you hate to turn anybody away at the gate that's willing to put some money down. However, it's not much of an experience for some people if you're just dealing with...
We just did this in our last segment, the skiers. I mean,
yeah, same thing.
Yeah, our show is making everybody come out and do stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll take credit for this.
Yes, we will.
But all six members of the delegation signed a letter this past week urging the Interior Secretary to consider local solutions to preserving access to the fourth most visited national park, that being Zion. 4.4 million people last year toured the park, which is struggling under a deferred maintenance backlog of $70 million. So it's tough. They need the money at the gate, but on right. the other hand, you want people to have a good experience.
And in the future, there'll be a lottery.
I think so. Yep. Reservations.
Maybe. Yep, absolutely.
Well, and that's what they're proposing, but they're trying to figure. But, because if you do reservations, that's also going to have impact on all the communities right. just outside the gates.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. And by the way, take advantage of your opportunity because we're in a sweet spot right now in the world, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah. Park officials extended the free shuttle service to December 1st this past year that's to try nice. And give people more opportunities. About 7 million rides are offered through the shuttle service every year. 7 million.
That's pretty impressive.
It's hard to believe that we're that far backlogged on maintenance in
well,
the park.
It isn't. We put out this ad, the Big Five.
Yeah.
You know, Life Elevated, come to Utah. And they did. You build it, they'll come.
Let's make a law that says you can't talk about the national parks anymore. You know, I mean, what the heck?
Navi told me on the ski hill last week he was going to stop talking about skiing, but we've already spoiled that this week, haven't we?
Yeah.
All right, we need to break. We've got a news update on the half hour and more coming up on the other side with KSL Outdoors Radio. Thanks for waking up with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.